And Jesus defined it for us in John 17. In John 17 and verse 3. This is the definition that Jesus gave himself. This is eternal life. If you want a definition of eternal life by Jesus Christ, here it is. This is eternal life, not that they may live forever, but that they may know you, the only true God, and know Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So, eternal life is knowing God personally, intimately, as a close friend and as a father. How do you know whether you know God as your father? I don't mean theoretically, I mean practically. Well, one proof will be that you don't get anxious when things go wrong. When you get anxious and worried when things go wrong, you're an orphan. Orphans are worried and anxious because they have no father to care for them. Something goes wrong, they don't know where to turn. They'll have nowhere to turn to. But a little child in your home, it doesn't matter if there's thunder or lightning or anything goes wrong. Daddy's there, I can go to him. Do you know God like those little child know you as their father? That is the proof of whether you know God as a father or not. Otherwise, you know him theoretically, but you don't know him personally. I think that many believers know God like a child who's got a father who lives in some other country, 10,000 miles away, who's working there. You know, many people have to work in other countries. I know a lot of people in India who work in the Arabian Gulf. And they are away from their parent, from their family for a whole year or 2 years sometimes. And once in a while they come and see their parents and go back, see their children and go back, work again for... And if you ask one of those children, do you have a daddy? Yeah, I have a daddy. Where is he? Oh, he's about thousands of miles away. How do you know he's there? He sends us letters now and then. And... When you're in trouble, is there somebody near you? No, there's nobody near me, but daddy sends us money. That's exactly how a lot of believers are. God is not near them. He's far away, many miles away, and he sends the messages sometimes through a preacher or through the Bible. But they don't know him personally. He's not near them. When you remember when Jesus was in the boat, the disciples could not be anxious. Jesus was not there. They were. And I think of this physically. I look at it like this. If Jesus were physically here with me in my house, do you think I'd be disturbed if any calamity happened there? If any of my children are sick or calamity or tornado or lost my job or the money runs out. If Jesus is in the house, a world of difference. But if Jesus is not there, you can have millions in your bank account. There are things even money cannot handle. There are many problems in the world money cannot solve. Your knowledge cannot solve. God has made the world like that. God has made this world a very, very insecure place. And as we approach the end of time, the world is becoming more and more insecure. Praise the Lord, so that people will turn to God. God uses trouble to turn to Him. I heard a story once of a man, it's probably fiction, but anyway, it's a moral in that story, of a businessman who had a few, three children. He was very faithful in attending services. But his business began to prosper. And gradually he would skip the weekday meetings because business, you know, you got to watch your business. And then he started skipping, once in a month he would come for the Sunday meeting. And gradually, as the business prospered, His attendance at the church became less and less and less and less. It actually happens to some people. Till one day a very poisonous snake bit one of his children. They took him to the doctor, and the hospital said, "It's very poisonous. It looks as if your child may die." Then he thought of calling the elder in the church, whom he had never contacted for many, many months. "Please come and pray for my child." And the elder person came there. He was a wise man. And he said, "Lord, we thank you for this snake. Because what I could not do for so many months, this snake has done in a few minutes, made him think of you. I tried so many months to try to make him think of you, and I didn't succeed. But what I could not do in 6 months, this snake has done in a few minutes. Thank you. Now, Lord, please send a few more snakes to buy the other children and the father and mother also, and then heal them. We don't want them to die, but let them turn to you." Do we have to wait for a snake to bite us before we seriously seek God? It's a parable, it's a story, fiction. But there's a moral in it. I had an aunt. See, my mother's sisters were all from nominal Christian homes. They never heard about the new birth, or, I mean, we were born again, but they didn't really respond to it. But one of my mother's sisters, the youngest one, got cancer. At a very young age, it was about 39 or something, she got cancer. And she went to hospital, never got treated. The hospital, and the doctor said, "It's pretty bad. This is going back many, many years ago." And finally somebody gave her the gospel and she accepted Christ. She was born again. Her sickness made her turn to the Lord. And she's turned to the Lord so wholeheartedly that she said, "Now even if I don't get healed, I'm going to live for Christ." It was a thorough conversion. And within a year she died and she went to heaven. That's the one sister of my mother's I'm absolutely sure I will meet in eternity. The others, I don't know. They were nominal Christians. I don't know whether they accepted the Lord. I think one of them perhaps did, but I'm not sure. But this one, I'm absolutely certain. In heaven, she will thank God for cancer. Otherwise, she might have been in hell. It's amazing how God uses snakes, cancer, to turn people to Him, to get to know Him. Many of us have come to know Him without cancer and without snakes. But knowing Him is not something you just, in a moment, it's done. Just like when you get married, you don't know your husband or wife at all. At least that's how it is in India. But day by day, as you live together, you get to know each other more and more and more. That's how the Lord Jesus wants us to know Him. And I want to ask you, ever since the day you got married to Christ, which you were born again, have you got to know the Lord better and better and better? Have you become more free from grumbling and complaining? That's one proof that you got to know the Lord better. That your grumbling and complaining has come down. Have you got more and more free from losing your temper? That's one proof that you're getting to know the Lord better. Do you think you'd be yelling and screaming in your house if Jesus was living there physically? No, you wouldn't. It's because the presence of the Lord is not real to you that you get upset with someone and yell and scream and get angry. Let's face up to it. You do not believe the Lord's presence is there in your home. It would make a world of difference. Supposing some calamity happened, if Jesus was living there in your home, what would you do? The first thing you would think of is, let's go and tell Jesus. That is the mark of a man who knows the Lord. And dear brothers and sisters, I'm not trying to condemn you. Please don't misunderstand me. I want you to know Jesus like this. Because that's what made the difference in my life.